once that decision is made to intervene, there are two options. One is the scorched earth, take no prisoners approach. And some do it that way. And I would suggest to you that that doesn't work at all. The other way is to do it, as Paul says, gently, redemptively. It's the idea of trying to set a broken bone. Now, I've never been in a situation where I've had to do that, and thank the Lord that I haven't been. But you have to do it gently. Or it's the idea of trying to mend a fishing net that's very kind of fragile anyway, and that's the way to go about it, gently, redemptively. He says, restore the one caught in sin with gentleness. And if we do that's grace. We don't have to earn forgiveness. We get it given to us. And we need to be about that. So if you're directly involved in a situation, take honest inventory of yourself, he says. Those who are spiritual, take honest inventory of yourself. Deal redemptively, gently with others. I lost a good friend in South Carolina a couple months ago. Ray was a craftsman. Every time I'd call him, and I realized he probably had caller ID, but every time he'd answer the phone, wood chop. He's the reason that all three of my kids have the same style of dresser. He and I built them. And one of the times on one of the dressers, when we were getting to the point of attaching the hardwood boards, one of the boards that we were trying to use was bowed a little bit. And so he taught me how to straighten it out. He didn't take it across his leg or across the bench and wham! He took it and put something underneath it and used clamps to draw it down gently over days, not hours. But he did it gently, redemptively. Just like we're to help others who stumble. How do you approach someone who stumbled? They're getting what they deserve. Sometimes we'd rather shoot our wounded than work to bind them up. What about bearing one another's burdens? Well, there are several things that work against you trying to do that. Sometimes it's the pace of life. Sometimes it's the idea that I'm John Wayne, everybody can go it on their own. And sometimes it's that I don't need or would welcome anyone's help. How do you or how did you deal with your kids? The scorched earth approach? Or did you gently try to straighten them? The goal is for all of us to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, then, Paul says, by taking an honest assessment of yourself. We need to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves. And let me tell you, that's one of the things that I'm realizing about life is that that's really hard. It's easy to tell the truth to yourself about somebody that you don't know very well, but the closer that relationship gets to you, the harder it is. Until you're talking about yourself and thinking about yourself, and we don't want to admit the truth about ourselves. So do not deceive yourself by thinking that you can handle life by yourself. You can't. God did not create us to go alone. God created us for community. God created us for fellowship with Him. God created us for fellowship with one another, for like-minded people who love and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and are trying to do life by themselves. Why do you think that God created man and woman and said, let them become one flesh and live their lives out together? Because we need one another. We need one another. And it's just as true that we need one another in the church. And so we need that. So we need first then to not think that we're something when we're nothing. We need self-examination, not introspection, not navel gazing as the expression goes, but self-examination. Let the light of Scripture shine into your heart. Submit your thoughts, submit your attitudes and your actions to the will of God. And then let Him deal with us. But the problem is with first, we tend to go towards legalism. You have to do things a certain way. You have to follow certain rules. And that doesn't work. And then we have this idea of libertinism, or the theological term is antinomianism. And I'll give you a quick Greek word lesson. Nome is the word for law, or the, as this kid will pronounce it. So it's against the law. So on one side, you got to do it just this way. It's got to be just this way. Now on this side, it's, hey, do it however you want. And Paul's saying, no, you got to be in the middle. And so we need to take an honest assessment of ourselves. And he says, Paul cautions us. He says that you'll have to bear your own load before God, that you will have to be accountable before the Lord. You will be accountable before the Lord. So take an honest assessment. Never forget. You know the Lord's Prayer? Where does confession fall in the Lord's Prayer? As He taught us to pray, confession falls way deep into the prayer. Never forget that. It begins with worship. And I think there's a certain amount of truth about the way we do a worship service. That we need to talk about Him being a solid rock. We need to talk about how good and how great and how strong and how mighty and how loving and how gracious and how merciful He is. Because once we get an honest view of who He is, we begin to see ourselves a little bit. And that's the way it needs to be. So never forget that we need to take an honest assessment of ourselves after we have seen who He is. We didn't read them, but earlier in chapter 5, there are 9 descriptive words for the fruit of the Spirit. And how many of them are evident in you? The first one he talks about is love. It's not this warm, gushy feeling. It's ultimately wanting the best and doing the best and desiring the best for another, for all people. Do you really love other people? Then the second one was joy. Have you ever known somebody that was just kind of a dark, gloomy day like we've got going on today in their personality, in their persona? When what Jesus really would do in our hearts and lives if we knew Him is not say, oh man, everything is perfect. But boy, I have joy because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Is there joy in your life? The second one he talks about is peace. Have you ever faced a decision and you knew it was a life-changing decision? It may have been to take a different job or to move to a different place. And you just became so anxious when what the Holy Spirit will give us is peace. And then the next one is patience. And that's where I guess I'm a little short on the Holy Spirit, because patience is a virtue. Catch it if you can. Seldom found in women, never found in man. My wife taught me that a long time ago. But the truth of it is what God is calling us to do is to be patient with one another. Well, I figured that out a long time ago. Why don't you know it now? Well, because I'm still working on it. Be patient with me. The next one is kindness. If somebody were to describe you using the descriptive of a brush, what kind of brush would you be? Steel wool. Then he talks about goodness. The idea that whatever you're going to do, whatever I'm going to do, whatever is for the good of the other person. Then he talks about faithfulness. Are you a faithful person? If you say, I'm going to be there, are you going to be there? If you say, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then if I give you money to handle, I don't have to worry about it. Then he talks about gentleness. Are you a gentle type of person? Then it's self-control. And it's not necessarily that each one of those is a fruit of the Spirit, but collectively, that's what we're to be. All these things. Because the goal for all is to walk by the Spirit. Then he says, walk by the Spirit by doing good to others. Show the fruit of the Spirit in your life. First, he says, be generous. In verse 6, he said, be generous to those who teach the word to you. How generous you are to others reveals a good bit about your heart. Then Paul lays out the truth of the harvest. Whatever you spread about is what you will draw in. Whatever you sow, he says, whatever you plant is what you will reap. Whatever you spread about is what's going to come back into you. And so he says, do these things. And again, he points out the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. The deeds of the flesh yield corruption. That which does not last. In fact, ultimately, that which you don't ultimately want. And deeds of the flesh are about what you can do, what you can handle, because it's all about you. And then there are that which is from the Spirit is about what the Holy Spirit can do. Now, I don't know about you, but I really want the Holy Spirit to work and move and change and be in people's lives, because there's not much I can do. And so we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And we need to sow gospel seeds. We need to sow the truth of the grace of the gospel and bring in that harvest at the right time. I guess it was verse 6 that made me think of my dissertation. I don't remember who I got to write that thing for me, but boy, I thought he did a pretty good job. I was quite impressed. I pulled it down off the shelf and began flipping through it. The question that I researched for my And a Bucket degree was how does a minister raise godly children? With three kids of my own, I was quite concerned about that. And what I identified and emerged as the core from all the research I did was the idea, was the extent to which the father expressed the child's value to him determined whether or not that child would end up being a godly child. Which is really just another way of saying that the law of the harvest works. Because whatever we plant, whatever we spread about, is what we'll get back in. So walk by the Spirit by doing good to others. So what do you spread about? Are you sowing to the flesh in order to please or placate yourself? Is your life all about your wishes, your pastimes, your fun, your enjoyment? Or are you spreading about the Holy Spirit, the gentleness, the kindness, the joyfulness of the Holy Spirit? The goal for all is to walk by the Spirit. What is this church known by out in the public, out in the community? Are we known as being willing to help folks walk faithfully with Christ, especially if or when they have stumbled? Are we known that way? Are you willing to take an honest assessment of ourselves and say, this is really who we are, and then deal with it as the Holy Spirit leads? What is it that we're spreading about? That you got to be a certain way and do a certain thing? Or are we about grace? I don't know about you, but I want to be about grace. Because I want grace. Are you walking by the Holy Spirit?